This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
This is Race Wars.
Race Wars.
I have the power!
Yeah! How's it feel?
With Kurt Metzger.
You're out of your fucking mind, dude.
And Sherrod Small.
Settle down, bitch.
Race Wars.
Settle down, bitch. Nigga. We the boys. Yeah! We the boys, yeah! Oh, we the boys. Yeah! Race Wars back in the building, baby. Sherrod holding it down. Kurt in LA dancing for Jews. That's his new show, Dance for Jews. I think it's gonna work.
Oh, it's lovely.
We got a packed house. I'm gonna go around the table. Everybody introduce yourself. Lindsay, continue. Go.
Lindsay Longmire, hi.
Yeah, Lindsay Longmire, good friend of mine. She's not a comedian, but she, you know, she's a good friend. She's from Greenwich, Connecticut, so she's probably richer than everybody here.
Am I picking up right after that?
Ooh. Ralph is on you, you old broke ass.
That sounded like a challenge.
Huh. Yeah, I'm not so sure about that, to be honest with you.
Go.
Ralph Sutton, host of the SDR show and co-owner of Gas Digital.
Ralph's got big money. That's what he's on. Everybody know. Ralph is sitting on some money.
It's not Lindsay money, but it's money.
Well, I wouldn't be so sure.
We had to talk about my money outside. There's a lack of it.
Ralph, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, man.
Is this your first time on Race Wars?
It's also my first time in this building in 3 years.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
Ever since the court case?
Ever since the court case. I can't come within 500 feet of this building. I'm seldom above 14
feet. But it's lifted.
I heard that kid never was well.
Yeah, they've never found him again, so it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you're back.
So welcome.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
I've done your show 1,000 times.
Yeah, I think you have. At least 4 or 5, which is 1,000.
I don't count.
We only have 200 episodes, so 1,000 would be impressive.
I'm not good at math. But welcome, man.
Like father, like daughter.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
We
did Bill Schultz's shows. I'm doing again on Tuesday.
Are you?
Yeah. He told me he didn't want you back. Yeah.
I got to duck him.
He's a nice guy.
I love Bill. I raise him from nothing.
I find that whole Compound Media thing strange because it's a closed system. So they can never grow their audience. You know what I'm saying? It's only they don't release any episodes for free.
Right.
So whoever's listening is listening. You're never going to get more people to listen.
So how can they, they need to give out some free?
I've told them that 100 times.
And they don't do it?
They don't do it. They won't do it. They're building
Wakanda over there.
They're building Wakanda. That's basically what it is. Wakanda for podcasting.
Our fans are going to get
you
strong.
You can't grow an audience.
We give it free. We do a little bit of everything.
That's how it should be.
It's like a drug deal. Give them a little taste. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're going to come back for more.
We were having a whole discussion about it down at the bar, about how to improve your podcast, how to get people to listen.
This guy knows his
shit. You got a lot of listeners. How many listeners y'all got over there?
A few hundred. Collectively at Gas Digital, about 1 million a week.
That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, 15 shows, about 1 million a week. Thank you.
15 shows, 1 million a week. That 15 shows.
15 shows, about 1 million. SDR
I feel like Ralph is pulling his digital dick out.
That's right.
A little bit.
Introduce yourself. I'm sorry, man. Dave Temple, comedian.
Dave, very funny, man.
Yeah, man. About to be a big deal, too, so, you know.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, so, you know.
Dave, you're from where now?
I'm from Philly, where all the greats come from, man.
Keith Robinson's from there, so stop saying where all the greats. Friend of the show. But welcome, yo. Chandler, go.
I'm Chandler, also from Connecticut, as rich, just mystic.
Chandler's from sweet, sweet mystic Connecticut.
Yeah, real cute, and I work in retail, and I know Sherrod.
Yes.
She's but like, I have crazy stories.
Is this the table of white women that know Sherrod?
I raised them all.
Uh-huh. Pretty much. Uh-huh.
I mean, I raised by them definition, because that's his podcast.
Yes. I'm like that Disney Channel, nigga. I raised these bitches from nothingness. And then they grew into Britney's. Daughter?
I'm daughter. You guys know me. Karen White. Karen. Here again,
excellent.
Host of the podcast on Hireable, Gas Digital, you might want to take notes. and Chandler was on our show, one of my favorite episodes called Abortion.
Yeah, Chandler's been through a couple things.
It was compelling.
Yeah. I got to come in and speak for the other side of the abortion.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Daddy's side.
Daddy.
Nobody? Chandler's had a lot going on in her life. First of all, she had... one thing that I kind of dreamed of having happen to me in my life, when I was in college and having a roommate die so you can get all A's.
Yeah, I saw it happen. It didn't happen to me.
Yes. You want the all A's. You saw the movie where the roommate, if your roommate died, you get all A's for the semester.
It's not true.
Wow.
Her roommate got killed.
Uh-huh. What? Where?
By you?
Let's breathe. Everybody breathe.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you the rundown.
Yeah. Now tell what school was it?
Eastern Connecticut State University.
Yes.
So right next to UConn.
It's the 13th grade.
Yeah.
all their application status is just halted.
Like, no one's going there now. So it was my junior year. This girl moved in about like a month left of school.
Yeah.
And
red flag already.
Yeah, right? So she moved in. Everyone was like, what's wrong with this girl? It's really weird. And then for 2 weeks, I knew her. We talked like maybe twice. And then I got a knock on the door at 4 a.m. And there were 3 cops at my door.
Were you a suspect?
For a little bit. Because
that's cool.
None of us reported.
That is cool, right?
That's fucking cool.
So yeah. After you came, what did the cops do?
Cops came and said your roommate is missing, or they said your roommate is
dead? Well, they said, like, we need to talk to you about your roommate. And we had already gotten a school cop, like, 3 days earlier being like, where's this girl? Where's Alicia?
And you love having a room to yourself, didn't you?
It was nice to have my room back. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. Because she came in and took my room, and then she left.
So you had a reason to kill her?
No.
Sounds like it. Sounds like you just admitted to something.
Reopened.
So this bitch takes my.
She's the most considerate roommate on the face of the earth. I've never had a roommate with the decency to fuck off and die.
Hey, well, she could have done it at a reasonable hour, like early in the morning. Yeah. That way, the cops get there like 2 p.m.
Tell them what happened.
So anyways, it's 4 a.m. They talk to us. They're like, so why didn't you report her missing? And like, we didn't know her, and it was during finals, so we were just like, oh, she just doesn't have class. She doesn't want to come to school.
Right.
And they asked us about how she was, what she's acting like, and we really didn't know anything about her. And then, anyways, school ends. I got, like, extensions on papers because everyone knew that my roommate was now missing.
That's good. You get some extensions?
Yeah. And then we had reporters coming up to our room asking us questions.
From the TV?
Yeah. Wow.
So that meant you was, like, really campus famous behind this shit.
Yeah, it was weird.
But also, my professors didn't know me for shit. Like, anything either. I was going through.
No, they knew.
You should have choked somebody out.
Maybe that's why you didn't get all A's, though, because it was already the semester was over.
Well, yeah, because she didn't die. They didn't find out she died until 2 months.
Considered murderer.
They didn't find out she died to 2 months.
Was she like buried in the woods?
Oh, hold on. So, the last she was seen was her boyfriend was picking her up.
Dun, dun, dun.
So he murdered her. Like, yeah, pretty much.
It's always the boyfriend, or whoever picks you up.
Well, that's what she gets for not fucking on campus. Yeah. Why you gonna leave it on get some regular guy to pussy? It's all these horny dudes on campus. Like, you
she's
get what's coming
local?
To you.
So happened?
So she gets picked up. They go to Dairy Queen, and they see that, and that's it. They see that camera, and then she disappears. He says that he dropped her off after the weekend, and he changes his story twice.
Right.
And then, like, no one has any leads. We don't know where she is. They don't have enough evidence on him to really, like, interrogate him.
His boner didn't give it away.
Yeah. And then I can never remember exactly how, but I'm pretty sure there were dogs that were going through, like, this area that they thought she might be.
Searching for,
and then...
Cadaver dogs.
Yeah, and then remains were found.
And wow.
Oh, my God. Was she wearing your shirt that she never gave back?
No.
That is
was she, like, scattered around?
Yes.
No, really? She was, she was dismembered?
Wait, yeah, so what happened was...
Oh, my God.
This guy was 10 years older than her. She was, I think, 8...
The guy that dropped
18?
Her off? The same guy? Okay.
So I want to say she was 17. He was 10 years older. I guess he was very controlling. He wasn't a good guy.
Apparently.
The story that I ended up hearing was that she was trying to break up with him, and basically he strangled her in the car and then freaked out, got a saw, chopped her up, and threw her in the woods.
Well, that's what you do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good advice.
I got her. Sherrod, I went to high school with 2 dudes that did that after we graduated, and that was, like, weird. Like, they were, like, 21.
Really?
The girl was, like, 15 or 16.
And you knew them?
Yeah.
Like,
we weren't like friends, but like I went from first grade to like 12th with these kids.
So that's crazy.
And what happened?
Yeah.
What?
Same deal. They accidentally murdered a girl, like, you know, breaking up, strangling. And
it happens.
They cut her up and put her in a drum and try to set her on fire.
If you choked a girl until she died, you didn't murder her by accident.
No, yeah. You saw that one coming.
They were strangling her. I'm trying to get my homies the benefit of the doubt.
It's not a whoopsie doodle. It's a murder.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, one killed herself and the other one still doing it.
How old were they when this happened?
Like 22, 23.
And the girl was 15 or 16? That's also...
It was a big... Yeah, it was like a really black eye for our community. You know what I mean? Like, holy
in
shit.
Philadelphia?
So young.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this shit.
Did Will Smith make a song about it? West Philadelphia, choked and dead.
But you sounded like, remember when John Lennon was questioning Forrest Gump? No religion? Huh? No possessions?
It was all leading.
Who knew murder could be so funny?
Oh, yeah.
Young girl dies. Hysterical.
And she died, and they didn't change her grades.
Well, it was after the fact.
I got all A's. It was fine. All
right.
But, excuse me.
No, yeah. It was because afterwards. I think if it happens during the semester.
Right.
That's when
it does happen because I went to school in Albany. And it wasn't me, but I saw them pull a dead body out of one of the dorms. And that kid... You know, he died from alcohol or something. He died. It wasn't anything.
Alcohol poisoning?
Alcohol poisoning. And I knew the roommate, and the roommate did get all A's. He didn't have to come back. He got all A's that semester.
Get out of town.
And I heard he was the bartender.
He was also dating him, and they were 15 years younger.
No. What school did you go to?
SUNY Albany.
SUNY Albany.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You are real New York.
I'm a real born in Brooklyn. Yeah, I'm a real New Yorker piece of shit.
Holy shit. What high school you go to?
John Dewey High School in Coney Island.
Dewey. I know Dewey. Yeah. I went to Lafayette for 2 years.
Really? All right, so we're neighbors at that point.
Then I went to private school after that.
Ooh, you're fancy.
Yeah,
you
fancy.
Fancy. I went to Bishop Lachlan. I graduated from Lachlan.
I went to private elementary school. And I told my parents, I don't want to do that. I want to actually be with, you know, regular people.
Get me away from these regular fucking people, Lord.
Stop making me be rich.
But yeah, it was Utrecht, Dewey, and fucking Lafayette.
Yeah, all right over there. Right, yeah, there. Right over
we
there.
We used
yeah.
to fight each other.
Yeah. I actually was, how old are you? Do you tell your age or not?
45.
48. Yeah. And I grew up in the breakdancing era. I think we talked about this. And we used to battle Lafayette all the time.
Yes.
Yeah, all the fucking time.
You battled?
I was in the movie Crush Groove. I was a really good breakdancer when I was 15.
Were you in Crush Groove?
Yeah. I was in Crush Groove, yeah.
What's the scene?
The scene where the Fat Boys perform. Uh-huh. You know? They hired Jay always gives me shit for this, but they hired us for the whole day, but they cut out most of the scene. You know, but we were there breakdancing at 15.
Right.
They picked
me.
They bring a chair. We were battling at the Roxy, and they came up to us and said they wanted us to be in the movie.
Wow. You were at the Roxy.
Yeah, I used to go over there.
And how old were you?
16.
How did you get in? 16.
We could get in back then. It didn't fucking matter. It really didn't matter.
I know it did.
Yeah, there was no age limit for cocaine, right? Anyone can do it. Come on.
And you used to come in from Brooklyn.
Yeah, I used to take the train. I used to breakdance for money in the streets in Manhattan when I was like 15.
And you had your own piece of cardboard. And you walked
up linoleum, not
there
carpet.
You
linoleum
go. Better, so yeah. Ripped up your mother's bathroom.
So now, had you reached your adult height?
No, I was 5'6". Now I'm 6'5", so it was a big difference.
Yeah. We have another guest who just joined us. Please tell her, introduce yourself.
And another white chick.
Yes, another white chick.
Yeah.
Give her the microphone. Sit, get closer to the mic. Yeah.
Okay. I'm Danielle Chalakian. I'm a journalist.
Yes.
Hey, girl.
Choking
welcome
on water.
Welcome, Danielle.
Super talented.
As we all do on the show.
Now, you're a freelance journalist, is that it?
Yeah, I'm freelance. I was a local news reporter. I was laid off, and now I'm a freelance.
Who took your job? White man?
Who
fired you? A white man?
Black woman.
A combination of a white man and a...
White woman?
And a... No, a Asian woman.
Oh, okay. Wow. She said that with a lot of tension.
Yeah. You really held on to that.
She wanted to say Oriental so badly.
Every
she's like that bitch.
Every slur went through her head. She's like,
no.
Can't say Oriental. Can't say chink.
Can't say sweat eye.
She didn't actually say anything. Like, the man said all of the stuff. All
right, and she just gave you a stern face.
Well, she gave me a sad face.
Oh.
Why'd they hire two people to just do your job?
She
geishered
you out of there. She
no, they didn't
her.
Hire anyone. There was a merger of two businesses.
Okay.
And then I was paid too much.
Now, you're a freelance writer, right?
Yeah.
Now, what do you mostly write about? Do you politics or?
Yeah, I do a fair amount of politics. I've been trying to do more writing about mental health and, like,
Like euphoria?
Do you want to do a story on me?
Yeah, I like mental health.
I'm for mental health.
Yeah. Where do most of your jobs come from? Is it online? Is there still pay in regular traditional print? Or is it?
Well, I wrote a print story for the print New York Times last
year.
Wow,
okay, that's really
nice. Yes. Yes.
And what was it about? Was it about me?
It was about Democrats, and young Democrats in Brooklyn.
Okay.
So, I don't know, are you a young Democrat in Brooklyn?
No. I can't vote.
I'm independent. First of all, I'm independent.
Okay.
I don't fuck around with all these fucking primaries.
Right on.
Dick. But yeah, I vote all the time. Like, I hate voting, but it's a democracy. It's not a spectator sport, so you got to be involved.
Do you vote every time there's a vote?
I race there in my motherfucking energy. House pants, and I do it with a whole bunch of Jewish moms on the Upper East Side.
That's cool. I only do it once every 4 years. I don't do anything else.
I vote for everything. Comptroller, nigga. I don't give a fuck.
Really? Wow, that's cool. Do you try and get educated beforehand, or you just go in and go with the name that sounds good?
No. I usually know them anyway because I talk about it on TV, from Fox to fucking Good Morning America. So I usually know the candidates.
Something, right. Okay, that makes sense.
I know shit about them.
Primaries matter a lot in New York, though.
Boo!
It's true.
It's a waste of my good time. I'm a New Yorker.
A lot of stuff is decided in primaries.
But these monkeys going to pick who they're going to pick in the primaries.
I mean, that's what these young people...
Isn't that everybody's going to pick who they're going
to
pick?
But I try to get in before they even nominate whoever... I would try to get in before the motherfucker even choose to run. And I
just
say like this.
And just say, what's up, dude? I'm going to vote for you if you ever run.
I say, run, Jesse. Run. I told Jesse to run. And then
you ever, like, looked into the Green Party here at all? Because they are, like, so...
That's my white daughter,
messy.
Karen.
Oh, I'm Karen.
She
Karen.
Loves the Green
Biological
Party.
Biological daughter, Sherrod.
Hi, Karen.
The loin of his loins.
Who's that Tommy? Who's you and Tommy? Who y'all love in a Green Party? Y'all love somebody.
So we got over the Green Party. We did. We went through an obsession with the Green Party, like the local Green Party.
It's like going
it's all
jungle
local.
Fever
they have no national
fever.
Party.
Right.
Well, it's so the Green Party has no like national direction or whatever. So every like state does its own thing. So they have no money and like no organization, but they have like the most diverse candidates. It's like a lot of like
the dreamers,
black and brown
my young
people,
white daughter.
Trans people, like openly gay people.
It's like
but
circus
they're unelectable,
freaks.
Basically.
It's the circus freak
it's
party.
Circus freaks. Yeah. It's carnies.
That's crazy.
It's the Barnum and Bailey party.
Unelectable. So you got some good ideas, but nope.
What are you writing about now?
Yeah, Danielle.
Ain't ready.
Yeah.
What am I currently?
What else have you written about too? Like,
well, I wrote about the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
I actually was on CBS talking about that on Saturday live.
Oh yeah. What do you think?
I thought Michelle did a great job.
I agree.
I still don't understand what was said that was so bad. What was the thing that was bad?
Here's the thing. Nobody really there signed up to be roasted.
Yeah.
It was super.
Yeah, but that's the tradition. It's always been.
It's turned and everything's getting more extreme. I didn't mention that, and it just got more extreme. But I thought it was great, and so much you swarmed in a season.
Can I ask you a question? Because I didn't really follow much of it. I just watched a little bit of what was said. Yeah. Is it because she said pussy and fuck, or is it because of the smoky eye thing?
First of all, people took the smoky eye thing like she was attacking her looks, and she wasn't.
No, she just
said it was great. She used
and she actually
facts.
It was neutral.
Some people thought she said fat, burning fat, and I was like, no, she's burning facts.
Well, she made a dyke joke. She openly made a dyke joke
about the softball team.
Yeah, she goes,
but that was a soft underhand dyke joke.
Okay,
but
if you're going to
say it,
that
was just
valid.
A way of like making fun of Jim Acosta.
Yes, that's why Acosta. Like, that's what was the
that was the funny part of that joke.
Stop being a pussy.
They turned on her really quick. They turned on her like a minute and a half.
But what my question?
Yeah,
because I was glad that I got my CBS interview on. Right as she finished, I got the shit on because I knew the circle of fucking wagons. Because I know these fucking pussies want to get fucking butthurt over some words.
Was it much worse than prior dinners? Or
no, it was even. I thought she was just as good as Wanda.
I
Wanda went at the people too. Wanda Sykes.
Yeah.
I think Seth Meyers
went
up. I mentioned all this. Actually, my interview about this is on Race Wars fucking Facebook. So check that out.
Race Wars.
Because I'm trying to keep it 100.
But I think everybody right now is just so sensitive about things. And I think tensions are so high that anything people can kind of attack and get after and have something to say about it,
they're
going to say it. Mm-hmm. Because this is just the time that we're living in right now.
But also, she was specifically talking to journalists about the media. And that room turned on her. You could feel it. And it's because they made her point for her. She was yep. like you love him. He made your careers.
Yep. Right.
And they didn't turn on her then. She did at the end of her set. They turned on her right up front because she started going after his money and stuff. Yeah. And it got real uncomfortable, even though they're the liberal media. Because they don't really believe in free speech the way that they say they believe in free speech. They have their agenda driven. And it was like, it really drove that home. And she did that, like lifting the log off.
That was the best part of it.
Smarmy media was the best part of it.
Well, the fourth call and repeat.
And they kept doing it.
That's around where it got uncomfortable for me.
When?
The fourth call and repeat.
Call and repeat.
Yeah, she goes, like, how Trump is so broke. Yeah, and then they go, how broke is he? As a comedian,
why would you keep doing
it? But you know what?
Because they kept re-engaging them. Even when she had fully lost them, they still it was like three is enough.
It's kind of like when a room ain't laughing, and then when at the end of your set, they fucking cheer like a motherfucker.
Right.
Plus, they were behind you the whole time, but they didn't tell their faces that.
Right.
So every time they kept yelling louder, how broke is he? I was like, she's got this fucking room.
They're listening.
Yeah. I think she had the room until there was negativity afterwards. I didn't feel like she didn't have the room.
No, no, no. If you watched the whole thing, they forced her. What they did was shitty because they decided not to laugh, even though her jokes were really funny and good. They forced her to bomb. That's what they did. They engineered a bomb.
But
she still kept going as though she wasn't bombing.
Here's the great thing about jokes. I've been doing it for 20 years. Jokes don't need the crowd to be funny.
Right.
It don't need you.
But let me ask you a question.
They don't need you at all, crowd.
Here's my question, because again, I'm watching this not as directly. Was the crowd mic'd? Are you sure she bombed?
No, the crowd wasn't mic'd.
Maybe she didn't actually bomb.
I don't think it was a bomb at all. I think you can still hear the laughing.
I didn't watch it thinking she bombed.
Four TVs in there.
You're saying to someone who didn't watch the whole thing, you can see the trajectory really clearly of how the set goes. At the beginning, all for it. Yes, the comedian, they're like, she's going to be on our side. And then she was like, I'm not on anybody's side.
Right, which is great.
And they got tighter and tighter as it went on.
Yeah, I didn't want the whole
thing. Like, she did exactly what journalists are supposed to do, is not be on anyone's side and just tell the truth.
Yeah.
And then she did that, and they got pissed.
In a room full of liars. The truth teller is the fucking problem maker.
Yeah. Well, that was, amen, Dan.
Like, DC reporting is like very access journalism, more so under this administration than ever before, from what I hear. And we all know that. What freaked me out was like, do it on text message, man. Like, don't like go on Twitter and like show everyone that you're kind of like ass kissy and weird,
right?
Just like text Sarah.
But they're so quick
like,
to do that,
so
they expose
sorry,
themselves.
Girlfriend or whatever. But like when you're like doing it on Twitter, like you like look gross.
Wait, what do you mean?
You know what? Like this, like access journalism thing. Like there was a lot. I feel like all of the reporter tweets about.
I see. Oh, yeah,
all of the tweets about like, oh, like this was so unfair. Poor Sarah. Oh, feminism. Something.
But why
white
are they
doing?
They're proving her point over. Like, and I totally agree.
Exactly.
They're engineering a story on Twitter that they can report on the news.
I think that they thought it said fat and not facts.
Yeah.
I think when they realized it was facts, they said, oh, this was not a bad comment.
And it was a funny joke.
It was a funny joke.
I thought she was
one of the funniest performers in like White House communication.
The initial story I heard was that she made fun of her weight. That was the first thing I heard.
What?
The first thing I heard was that she said something about her weight because I think people thought it was fat and not facts.
Yeah, but that's why. And she never said that.
Right. That's what I think why they jumped on that.
People want to hear what they want to hear.
Yep, right.
They don't give a fuck how wrong they are, and they'll run with it.
And the media is the first one to go on Twitter to say anything just to say that they said it first.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the beauty of this
more as we
engine.
Develop. That is a crazy line right there. When you ever see it on the news, they go, more as it develops. Like, they don't have the full story, but we told you what we have.
Yeah. Right,
and we'll get back
gate.
To you later. Yep. How do we allow them to start doing that? Like, when I read it, if I ever had a book report, I'm supposed to read the whole fucking book before I start.
Rachel Maddow made an entire career out of it.
Yeah,
Rachel Maddow has never finished a story.
Yeah. See, that's what Michelle touched on, too. That she never to have ever-ending points.
Yeah, who's
I wish I would
have
known
to
do that. Here's what I got on chapter one, more as a development.
Yeah.
I've been saying that all for years.
I'll let you know.
I mean, that's the
problem with 24-hour news, though.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like they just right. feel like they have to constantly be on TV.
But
saying
they always
got
to say something.
Yeah, but they don't have 24 hours worth of shit to say. Exactly. It's like an no hour that they repeat over and over. They could just choose better shit. They're
Here's
choosing.
The thing.
Well, that's the beauty. Is art. 24
is going to be a problem. 24-hour porn is going to be some butt stuff. It's going to be a lot of butt stuff just to get through the hours.
Why is that a problem?
But sometimes you don't want butt, you want mouth.
No, I just
want
to
But I'm feeling like the news and journalism, that's an art now. It's an art. Oh, you're creating something.
I think journalism itself, like actually a reporter,
right.
doesn't exist anymore, really.
Yeah,
I think they do. You got to look for them.
Very, yeah, of
you
course. But the mainstream
it's like
ones,
it's you're like not, rappers.
No one is doing these great undercover
no
pieces anymore like they used to.
Sure.
Very
but
rare.
But even that wasn't necessarily real. It was something you were creating so that your audience would watch
Well,
you.
No, like Watergate or things like that were undercover, like, holy shit, look what happened.
Yeah.
Well, they are, they're still there. It's
they
still there.
Are,
you got to look for them.
And it's mostly like at the local level in publications that are now being bought by like horrible corporate
That's
owners.
That's the problem
that
is that they're controlling
like,
what comes out.
But it's also the person's responsibility. It's like if you ask somebody who's their favorite basketball player, they tell you right away. You ask them who's their favorite journalist, they got
no idea.
They got nothing. Yeah. They got nothing.
Somebody knows
so
these people.
Everybody's personal responsibility.
Nobody knows any of these fucking talking heads on those shows.
Yeah, I'm one of them. All of them.
Yeah, but
I know the actual reporters, the talking heads.
All of them. That's what I'm saying. Like, so they're somebody's champion, right? There's a reason why people following them, or like, we don't know. I've always felt like journalism is like sports for nerds.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? It's like, hey,
hell yeah.
Here's my guy up here talking shit.
But it
you
used
know?
To be, in because again, I'm showing my age here. In the 70s,
like
the person telling the story was the person finding the story.
Right.
That's not the case anymore.
Right.
That's a big difference.
Right.
You've got people.
Oh, they're feeding it back.
They're just reading the teleprompter.
Right, right.
Where it used to be, he was a journalist that was also on television.
But that's also now where we're at, where because we've accepted that as the audience, and we allowed them to start, you know, relaying it, mm-hmm. and they could get lost in the message or anything. Now that's why we're falling for anything. Yeah. Now they'll just pull shit off of Twitter,
right? Of course, and say
and
it
just
is
go
news.
Somebody,
well,
and that's new.
We want
but
stars,
know.
We want to see. It's like everything's American Idol. Like we're kind of like Hunger Gamesy for real. Like we want to see news stars, and so we watch for the personality and not the news.
Yeah,
right, and that's the problem. I wish there was a real impartial news channel, and there isn't.
There's some. I mean, you can watch BBC,
and also the network channels at like the 7 o'clock or 11 o'clock news. Those are impartial, but the law
like
changed.
The
Carter changed the law.
Hold on,
but
you would still prefer
special.
Deadpan, no
impartial.
Opinionated
yeah,
news.
No, like
yeah,
really,
the facts.
Just the facts.
In I think it was 78. When did Carter change the law? Do you know?
What?
The impartial news law. It was President Carter changed the law. It used to be that you had to give both sides equal time.
Right.
And then the law changed when Carter was in administration.
Right.
And then you got the Rush Limbaughs of the world and the Fox News and whatnot because you didn't have to give both sides anymore. You could just have a 24-hour news channel that was only on one side.
That peanut-eating nigga did that?
He did, yeah.
Because somewhere along the line,
Dad,
as a kid, you went away from the animated wacky hero. And then you were okay with just somebody straight pan, just
real news,
and you
real
want
impartial
like,
news.
Because most people will go for the character because it's reminding them of when they were a kid, and it's like this fucking cartoon character. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Remember when news came into American houses? It was like dinner time,
right? Exactly.
6 p.m.
Yeah.
So you wanted somebody white America wanted somebody who they felt comfortable giving them the news when they sitting around eating dinner with their family.
Mm. But now they've combined the two because
but
they used
now
to turn
it's 24
to see,
hour news. So right. you ain't got no one. So you get in there at all times of the day. So
you just
want
to watch somebody that you want to fuck giving you the news. And then they have to have all the flavors of people to fuck to give news.
Holy shit. People
is
are
that,
attracted to
is
news
that,
people?
Of is that what?
Do you never, ever
how
watch
do we
the
explain
Spanish
yeah,
news?
Some people
about.
Need a
Spanish
wolf.
News, but
that
I, don't,
is really
I didn't know that
disturbing.
Was news. I couldn't understand what they were saying.
But he thought it was porn.
Your looks definitely, here's the thing.
That's its own Me Too.
TV, anything, your looks matter.
Of course.
Yeah,
so,
I get that.
But if you see an ugly motherfucker on TV talking about the news, listen to that nigga.
Yeah.
Because he got the facts.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think. Is there any... I know people that like...
There's some hot chicks on Fox. Fox
and I know a lot
hot.
Of dudes in jail that have obsessions with
the building
with, like,
is hot.
Yeah. News women.
Yeah,
you can say what you want. I've been in everybody's news buildings, man.
MSNBC
Fox
and
news.
CNN, they don't get hot chicks.
It's a problem in there.
I used to work at a trading firm, and the guys, this was when we had like
like the TVs and our computer screens, and they were like, God, she's so fucking hot. And I was like, seriously? I was like, all day, ticker symbols going by, and they're like, look at her. And yeah. I'm like, you need to get
they
out.
Use they have the leg chairs. They always have them.
Yeah, always show. They always have the cutoff tables. You can see their legs.
Yeah, but we ain't got nothing on foreign news. Like, places other, we at least pretend to cover it up and like a high neck sheath dress or whatever. That's
oh,
also
South
fitted.
America is just oh straight butt naked one.
Straight suns
and that's
out,
funny,
tits out.
Because when you think about like, you just said that you know that. Like, we all understand that is the standard. And some people try to go against it. You ever see that video where the girl was a little bit heavy during the weather and the guy sent her an email like,
oh, yes,
I don't think
yes,
this is acceptable.
Yes. She was blocking the map.
But he felt that strongly about like, no, no, that's not the way
men
news
feel
is supposed
that strongly
to look.
About like literally any woman who
but
goes
not
on
to
television.
Send an email.
Oh my God, yes, to send an email. Do you understand?
Yeah,
like, all of my colleagues who have gone on TV have gotten emails being like, you need to do something with your hair.
Really?
Bro, dude. I mean, it's always like, bro, like, what does your hair look like? You're probably bald.
I mean,
why are you like sending this email?
I believe that.
Do you not get it?
TV critic Emily Nussbaum said the other day, like, that she went on the radio, she did a radio show. And
she looked
got,
a mess. I'm sorry,
she,
the radio.
But like, she got this email from this guy that was like, Emily, guy she's never met.
Right.
Emily, I've always thought of you as a daughter, but your voice was really annoying. You should really do something about that because it takes away from what a strong writer you are. And I was like, oh my God, did you like track his IP address and burn his house down?
Well,
like, how did
that,
you do this?
If you
and she just wrote
people.
Back and was like, hi, next time you want to send an email like this, hit delete. Goodbye.
How the fuck? First of all, how the fuck did he get her email? Second of all, I get shit
the
like that all the time too.
Yeah, I was just gonna
you do
say
TV or whatever.
Anything.
Motherfuckers
I get a,
will send it in, boy.
Yeah. I get
do
50
they do that to white dudes?
Day.
I feel like they
yeah,
do.
Yeah,
really?
I get 50
oh,
emails
yeah.
a day.
I send angry stuff to white dudes. Like, comb your hair, you fucking animal.
I get Frankenstein like 30 times a day.
So you got my message.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, I hear it all the fucking
must
time.
Good, the people are watching.
Yeah, I don't care. It's great.
Yeah.
What my attitude, I tell everybody this all the time, whoever sends you that email that you look whatever, remember, no one's sending that person an email.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so
right.
just embrace it. It doesn't matter.
It's so funny.
You got to get ready for it, though.
I've always been I look at the comments. I don't ever write comments. Like, the comments are fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's my best part of WorldStar,
that's
to be
the
honest with
you.
The different level on Twitter is when they actually at you. So they could, one thing if they say,
they
I hate
you.
This person,
yeah.
but to take the extra step, I want to tag this person and let him know I hate him is a different level.
You know how many times I have to write eat a dick and then block somebody?
I don't block.
It's my job.
I prefer to mute because then they just like piss into the wind for hours.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and you're just like, haha, bro, keep going, keep going.
Holy shit.
Robert Kelly thinks I'm a psychopath because I respond to everyone with, you know, thanks for the comment, dude. That, you know, like, and then they have no power.
Oh, yeah. My favorite is to say, thanks so much for reading.
Yeah, I just said, I'll look in.
A lot of times when you say something back to them, they're like, oh, no, man, I'm a fan.
Yeah, that's what
right,
it is.
Right.
Eat a dick,
yeah.
you beta.
Every time, so on Legion, all Legion fans fucking hate me. You know, I've done that show half a dozen times. Yeah. But every time I go to the show, every single person that comes up and says how much they are a fan. You know,
yeah.
so it just
has
is what it is.
Has anyone ever gotten a negative comment that they kind of agree with?
Oh, yes.
All the time.
Yeah. I look like Frankenstein. I'm not going to deny it.
Yes.
What would bother me,
right?
If someone I respect... Yeah. says to me, dude, I listened to your show. It was fucking horrible. That would hurt.
Yeah.
But some anonymous person who gives a shit.
I remember one time on Fox, somebody wrote in, I saw Sherrod's double chin, and I can't unsee it. I laughed and went straight to the gym.
That would destroy me.
It didn't bother me, though. I was like, this nigga's helping me out.
Thank you.
And I can't unsee
it. Oh, my God.
Ooh, that really stung.
Wow. At least you can grow a beard, though, dude. Like,
that's
what
true,
am I going to do about it?
Grow a beard.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess.
You can put a dick on your chest.
Walk around.
I'm just trying to help, guys.
Ornamental dick. Ornamental chin dick.
Speaking of ornamental dick, let's talk about Kanye.
Okay.
Okay.
I met some of my students.
I know you got to have something to say about this.
Yeah.
I love it.
You saw him on TMZ. You saw the one black dude at TMZ stand up to him. We all proud of now.
Why? Kanye's the only person saying what's on his actual mind and not trying to build a consensus.
Shout
with
out,
idiots.
White daughter.
Yeah,
what
he's on drugs. Someone just need to take his phone from him for a little while. Even if you think
oh,
that.
Stop.
he says even slavery if he thinks was that, a choice.
I think he's right. I'll tell you
what it is.
Devil's advocate.
He's got to think.
I have a real simple choice.
It's harsh choice. Here's the thing.
Here's the choice.
Let me say what I think first.
Okay.
Slavery is kind of a choice. To be devil's advocate, because you can choose to be a slave or you can choose to be dead.
That's what I said. That's a choice. Uh-huh. That's right.
But it's harsh choice.
It's a harsh choice.
Yeah.
But he's right.
And only people can only say that.
I don't think he meant that.
Yeah, if they've never been in that position to choose, you know, between death
and but here's the thing too, but sometimes death ain't a choice, because you might be willing to die, but then they're gonna kill your mother,
right,
your daughter, your family. Yeah. So you're like this, if you kill yourself, we gonna kill all them.
The truth
so
is,
now it's no
exactly
choice.
People know
here's now it's no choice.
The truth is that
now you're making a choice for their lives.
No one realizes how strong the instinct to survive is. Like, you don't realize until you're in that fucking situation.
I agree.
It is a different level. You think you're gonna do one thing, but you will not.
This is everybody talking from the comfort of their fucking home with most of their needs met. The fact that they're even able to comment on shit on the internet lets you know their major needs are met. So they're not even like in any position of struggle.
Right,
when your head goes underwater, nigga, you will climb out of there on babies. to survive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dump babies under the water to get you out of there.
What I'll give you a really shitty example is that, so my father, who passed away about a year ago, but he was worth a lot of money. Unfortunately,
did you kill him?
I didn't get any of the money, but he was worth a lot of money. And he had a delusional sense of his life, because for, let's say, 70 of his 82 years, he had money, maybe 60 of his 82 years. And he couldn't understand why someone wouldn't do something if it only cost an additional $10,000. Because he had so much money for so long that his just vision got skewed.
Right.
And I think Kanye is exactly that.
Right.
He has been a golden child with no one but yes men surrounding him
for so long
that his vision got skewed. And
even
he doesn't know that he's being crazy.
Even when the black dude at TMZ said something obtuse to what he was like this.
Obtuse?
Huh?
Yeah, he looked, wait a minute.
Scooby-Doo?
You're disagreeing with me? That doesn't happen.
Right. And I think that's fine, though, because some people,
it's good to have the conversation.
Some people can go that direction with him, and he can pull some people in that direction. It ain't for everybody to go.
Right.
It ain't for, but we need more niggas thinking like that.
And I love
anybody thinking not like everybody else.
Right. Do you think
I'm
it any?
I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any part of it?
Black people think Democrats is for blacks.
We gotta stop.
It's like Democrats ain't for black people.
But we also gotta stop.
Democrats ain't for black people.
We gotta stop putting the power in those people. Like, we assign that power to him that we're supposed to be listening to anything he says. Make music, nigga. That's it. That's all we want.
I take it with a grain of salt. I don't take anybody's word.
Right.
Listen, you can say whatever you want. I'm not going to be like this. That's my new
order. But this is our thing. For some reason, we never can separate an artist's work from who they are outside of that. That's been our biggest problem with all of our characters.
That's why Trump is president.
It's like
Cat Stevens. I'm sorry.
Is that Cat Stevens?
Yeah, he became a Muslim, didn't he, Cat Stevens?
He was a communist, and then he was
something. He was on a no-fly list. But do you think any part of it, and
yours is still good,
playing devil's advocate, do you think any part of Kanye said, you know, people have not been talking about me for a couple of months, let me say something ridiculous?
He does this for every album.
If you read what he wrote, he has good ideas that seem clearly thought out. Like, this doesn't read crazy to me. He's like, instead of being divided,
he knows that he can stir up the bowl.
I think he's just thinking about a solution, but maybe it's not registering with everybody.
He'll drop an album and be done with this a year and a half, and we'll totally forget about this shit.
Of course.
But I don't think that it's some propaganda or something he's using to sell an album.
What are you talking about? He did the same shit the last year with the arguing and fighting with Apple. I'm taking my music, I'm putting it back on, it will never be here. And then, you know, he went and argued and fought with Taylor Swift about her hearing the lyrics.
Every 3 days he's arguing or yelling about something. But the media picks up on whatever they want to click on to.
Yeah.
And make it a thing.
Yeah.
If you just kept it on them every day, it's going to be, every day it'll be something.
Right.
Wasn't he quiet for a few months, though, at least?
Quiet compared to what?
I don't know. I was just thinking, because I saw, I'm a big Kim Kardashian fan, because we're both Armenian. And that's
important.
You
Armenian? Yeah. I knew it was something in there.
So I stand
for Kim. I
wasn't
just looking at a white
wife. I think she's a smart businesswoman, and I support her. And I was looking at her tweets about it, and she was like, first of all, she was trying to say, like, stop speculating about Kanye's mental health because it's fucked up, which I was like, true. All right, cool.
Whose isn't?
And
Then it's fucked up to speculate.
About definitely. Someone's mental health. Like, you're not, none of you are psychiatrists. You're not treating him. Relax. And then she had a tweet that ended with something like, Kanye is not in the sunken place when he's speaking his mind. And I was thinking, like, oh, wow, he's been really quiet for a while. And then, of course, I do exactly what she told me not to do, which is speculate about his mental health and whether he was depressed for a while and now he's not depressed anymore.
But now he's come out and said that he was, like, addicted to opiates, like, after his liposuction. It's all over. So
Liposuction.
You know what's so great? You mentioned the A-Train, and as we're describing this, if I didn't know who Kanye was, I would think this is that nigga on the end of the A-Train. Like, you know that guy that, he's been quiet for a few months, but now he's back there.
And you just...
So why do we assign any value?
No, but I don't think
But so does the homeless guy at the end of the train.
This is a case of sometimes it makes sense. He threw a couple super provocative things out there, but when you read them, they consistently make sense. And not only do they consistently make sense, they're coherent and show clearly someone who's been thinking about this and is going political without running for office. Like, this is him. Like, this is like his weird little foray into politics, like direct access, the way that Trump did.
There's a lady.
I don't know.
There's a lady at the station at West 4th Street who talks the same shit. So let's put her in the same position.
I mean, the ideas are the ideas. But have you read it through his Twitter feed?
Well, you don't have to. I can read it, but it would be the same thing as if I sat there and if I'm waiting 50 minutes for the train, the lady's going to say the same type of shit.
But you don't know that if you haven't read it. It's like really good.
Listen, there's no way to justify.
And the lady on the trains got some good shit.
Realistically, there's no way to justify the term slavery was a choice. There's just no way to justify that.
Okay, but you throw out all the tweets with the tweet water. Like, that's, but so
that statement in its own
qualifies him that we need to, that he needs to make sense. And
no, he doesn't. I'd still appreciate him as an artist. I don't listen politically.
Has anybody actually read through the tweets?
Why? Yes, I don't know him. I don't. Why would I follow him? I don't know him.
You have so many opinions, and I'm
that's the thing. I don't have any opinions on it, and I don't understand why anybody would care what Kanye has to say about slavery.
Not because it's him. It's because he's saying interesting shit.
But like I said, the people on the train say interesting shit.
I have breaking news. I have breaking Kanye.
Have you listened?
Breaking Kanye news. Kanye revealed to be he became addicted to opioids when he had liposuction. 2 days before I was in the hospital, I was on opioids. And during the bizarre interview on TMZ Tuesday, I was addicted to opioids. I had plastic surgery because I was trying to look good for y'all. And I got liposuction because
Is this news source?
This is on page six. And I got liposuction because I didn't want y'all to call me say I was fat. Like y'all call Rob Kardashian and made him leave the wedding and fly home before Kim and I got married.
No, he didn't say that.
He said that was quote.
I love it so much.
Wes, 40, was hospitalized in November 2016.
He's
following
an
onstage meltdown.
I know comedians
tour.
That tweet the same way. There are comedians in New York who
do
the same
shit.
He's just a sharer.
All right, we're doing plugs now. That's the end of the show. You want to do some plugs? Plug something.
Yeah, I'll plug it really quick. Yeah, thank you. So, of course, the SDR show, Sex, Drugs, Rock and Roll Show, with me and Big J Okerson, currently in the top 50 on iTunes Comedy, as it always is, and GasDigitalNetwork.com. All the streams are free of all 15 shows. We're closing in on 1 million listeners a week, and we're moving into a brand new studio in about 2 weeks, which is going to be awesome.
There you go. Follow me
everywhere.
Feel about that? How are your parents feel?
My dad doesn't feel much. He died about a year ago, and my mom.
Lucky bastard.
Thank you. And my mom loves it. My mom was, you know, she was a comedy booker. She ran a comedy club here in New York for years.
Which club?
I mean, you're not. Maybe you were here in New York. What year were you here?
I was born here.
All right. So do you remember? It was called Upstairs at Green Street. It was on. So my mom was the booker there, and she helped
that's crazy.
The first Chris Rock ever got on stage was there. Susie Essman, one of the first times in New York. Yeah. Mario Cantone, Susie Enjoy.
Dizzy.
Yeah, when Gilbert Gottfried, Larry David, I saw them all when I was 10 years old.
A bunch of no names, I get it, but they had their dreams.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Yeah,
she's still amazing though.
Yeah, in fact, I was on a date about a year ago.
Yeah,
and I went to I think the Cellar, and Chris Rock showed up.
Right,
and then afterwards I went upstairs to just see if he was there, and I said, "Look, I know you don't remember me, but my mother's name was Leah Sutton." He's like, "Holy shit, sit down."
That's crazy.
And we had a drink, and he's like, "He could just because it made a big difference in his life because she would see people something about them and put them on stage even before." They were
she
ready.
Had an eye for it.
Yeah, she had a really good eye for talent.
Do you ever have her on an episode on anything?
She lives in Miami. I want to bring. She's coming to New York. I think in June I'm going to bring her on SDR.
Yeah, interview your mother, you asshole.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll get her into one of those porn contests or something.
There you go.
There you go.
You're a good boy.
I'm a good boy. I call my mom almost every day. Yeah, I have a twin brother.
Ask her for money. It's not sweet.
He's like, so about that money Dad had.
Yeah, I didn't get to see any of that, unfortunately.
Can I have it?
Well, thanks for coming into the show.
Thanks for having me, dude. I love you, buddy. Yeah, and thank you all.
Yep, good to see you.
And I'll see you soon.
What's your plug?
My plug, I got a lot of things coming on. I got this
your
show
nipples?
May 14th.
Nipple yeah. plugs?
Nips, nips, dick.
Nips.
Back dick. I got a back dick.
You got a back dick,
I got a back dick.
Do you
yeah,
shove
yeah,
your
yeah.
own back dip? Dip.
Dip. There you go, trying to bark with the big dogs.
Shut up.
You want to plug something? You want to plug?
Not really.
Okay, can't wait. Who's plugging? Dave, go.
No plug.
DaveTempleComedy.com is the website. Go check it out for all my show dates. Fucking May 21st, Chicago, Predatory Theater. Two shows. Go to my website. Get those tickets. June 26th, Carolines. Recording the second album. The second one. Those tickets available on Carolines.com and on DaveTempleComedy.com also.
Yeah, you did.
And don't forget Betty Boop was black, yep. too. Betty Boop was a real person, by the way.
Oh, yeah. White, women, white women don't have
Ready?
That kind of figure.
Betty Boop was colored white in cartoon animations, but her real life history is black. The character was stolen from Cotton Club singer Esther Jones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Known by her stage name, Baby Esther. She sang songs like, I Want to Be Loved by You.
Fucked.
Boop, boop, doop. In a baby voice, thus her name. Esther tried
oh,
to
some pedophile
tried,
shit.
But never won back the rights to the Betty Boop character that was clearly based on her.
Didn't have the right lawyer. Didn't have the right lawyer.
That was her.
Danny, want to do some plugs?
Yeah, sure. I'm Danielle Chalakian. You can find me on Twitter at
Chalakian.
Danielle IAT. And I'm a frequent contributor to longreads.com, which is a good website for reading things.
Yeah,
look at you doing different shit with your afternoon. Yeah.
Occasionally long things.
I'm going to have to fondle her, I think. My daughter, what do you want?
Well, you can find my great show on Hireable on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Patreon, baby, if you're a daddy who pays. And it's called we're sure. at On Hireable Show on Everything, and I'm Karen, K-E-R-E-N, Margolis on mm-hmm.
yeah. everything. Bitch, pay first.
On everything.
Oh, yes, she is.
Make
and
sure
don't forget,
pay.
May 14th. 8 p.m. Comedy Cellar. We got Me Familia Part 1 come through. It's Mike Che's birthday. We got Drew Michael's birthday. Everybody's performing. Sam J, Chris Redd. It's the last week of SNL. So everybody's coming
What's
through.
What's the date of that again?
That's going to be May 14th, 8 p.m. Comedy Cellar, Village Underground. Go to ComedyCellar.com. Get your tickets. SmallWorldComedy.com. And don't forget that Race Wars will be live in Detroit, baby, June 7th and 8th. At Smalls, we got me and Kurt to be out there doing shows and live podcasts. So make sure you get the tickets for that at Smalls in Detroit.
You and the Jew, Kurt Metzger?
Yeah, I'm going to drag that fucking torso, son
Karen
of a bitch,
and I will go.
To the Midwest. Yeah, Karen will be there. You guys can come through if you want.
I promise.
Listen, so that's Race Wars. Don't forget May 14th, though. Go get your tickets right now for Me Familia Part 1. And Cypher Sounds is DJing and co-hosting it with me. So it's going to be Cypher, me, Che, Drew Michael, Sam J, fucking
wow.
so many people.
Boop.
Leslie Jones, I think Leslie's coming.
Hey.
It's Race Wars. Matt, great job today.
Woo. Yeah, producer.
Thanks, guys.
Matt.
Love your mothers. Chandler,
adios.
Any plugs?
Good stories.
Go shop at Reese. It's really nice.
Go
There's
to
Reese
Madison.
Madison
listen
and what?
To the abortion episode
yes.
of Unhireable
I know,
with Chandler.
It's so good. It's
I went
so
with
good.
Her to get her abortion, so I'm the hero of the story. And then yeah. she talked
I'm
about her abortion.
I'm the real hero. I put the baby in her.
Yeah. Lies.
Race Wars, yeah.